Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the showdown in the Senate expected on Thursday when and if the Republicans block the nomination of Patricia Mallette to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals that is likely to provoke the so-called nuclear option to rein in the filibuster. Nan Aron, the president and founder of the Alliance for Justice, joins us to discuss the brazen blockage of Obama's judicial nominations to the second most important court in the land. Then we'll get an update on Wednesday's conference on retirement security in Washington in support of protecting Social Security in advance of any grand bargain that might put it in on the chopping block as budget talks begin and the cost of living adjustment for 2014 is announced at 1.5%, the lowest since the COLA was introduced in 1975. Eric Kingston, the founding co-director of the Social Security Works, the organization behind the Strengthened Social Security Coalition, joins us to discuss the forces arrayed to protect Social Security against the powerful interests who want to either cut its benefits or privatize it. Then finally, we'll look into the arrests by the Chinese Public Security Bureau of five ethnic Uyghurs who are being described as Islamic jihadists responsible for an audacious attack at the foot of the Tiananmen Gate near the political heart of the nation. A leading expert on China's ethnic minorities, and in particular the Uyghurs, Drew Gladney, joins us. He is a professor of anthropology at Pomona College and author of Muslim Chinese Ethnic Nationalism in the People's Republic. And joining us now is Nan Aron, who is the president and founder of the Alliance for Justice, a national association of over 100 organizations working to promote and protect public interest in national policy. A leading voice in public interest law for over 30 years, she's the author of Liberty and Justice for All, Public Interest Law in the 1980s and Beyond. Welcome to Background Briefing, Nan Aron.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And on Thursday, it appears to be a kind of showdown that's happening in the Senate, in the Judiciary Committee, over the appointment to the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit of Patricia Ann Millett, who apparently has been chosen because she has a bipartisan appeal and there is nothing objectionable about her, yet the Republicans are basically at this point saying that they're going to filibuster her or not allow her nomination to proceed. And Harry Reid's now talking of invoking the nuclear option. What do you expect is going to happen on Thursday, Nan?
She will be brought up for a vote before the full Senate. And I assume that Harry Reid will not have the votes to proceed to confirm Patty Mallette to the D.C. Circuit. She is an incredibly strong candidate for the seat. Republicans, despite her stellar credentials, have been fighting to keep open the remaining three seats on an 11-judge court. There is now an even split on the D.C. Circuit for Democratic appointments, for Republican appointments, and it is the desire of the Republicans, both on the Senate Judiciary Committee and probably in the Senate, not to allow any more judges to be confirmed because out of their fear that one more Democratic-appointed judge would tilt the balance in favor of the Democrats' positions on issues. So there is a war being waged over, really, these seats. And unfortunately, the victims are Patty Mallette and Nina Pillard and Robert Wilkins, all three supremely qualified candidates. This fight has really nothing to do with their qualifications. They are as capable as any judge we've seen confirmed to the D.C. Circuit. The fight is over whether Republicans will allow the majority leader to begin to take votes to fill these three seats.
Well, this particular seat, though, has been vacant since Chief Justice John Roberts was elevated 8 years ago to the Supreme Court. And it is a, of course, this circuit court is a conduit directly to the Supreme Court, where four Supreme Court justices in the last 30 years have been elevated from this court to the Supreme Court. So, but the idea that this has been vacant for 8 years and it's been dominated by conservatives and now it has an even split. What I find extraordinary, though, is the fatuous nature of the arguments that Senator Cornyn, himself a judge, has come up with, and that is that he's invoking the national debt, saying that the salary of a new judge that he claims we don't need on this court has something to do with the $17 trillion deficit that we have. I mean, what is a judge's salary? Surely that's not going to tip the balance and bankrupt the country, is it?
Senator Cornyn has raised these silly objections. Senator Grassley wants to eliminate one seat and send two of the seats to the Second and the Ninth Circuit. But these are all pretexts, excuses by Republicans not to fill these three seats. It's that simple. And here you've got, as you say, Patty Mollett. She was an assistant to the Solicitor General for several years. She's been honored by the Bush administration with the Attorney General's Distinguished Service Award. She's argued, I think, something like 32 cases in the Supreme Court. You really couldn't find anyone better credentialed for the D.C. Circuit. And yet, Republicans are coming up with any excuse they can possibly think of to make sure that a vote is never taken on her confirmation. Their most recent excuse is to say that the caseload is too small for the D.C. Circuit. And yet, during the Bush administrations, judges were confirmed to the 9th, 10th, and 11th seats when the caseloads were even lower. So we know this has nothing to do with the court, nothing to do with Patty Mollett or the other two. It is simply a power move on part of the Republicans to prevent the Obama administration from filling these three seats.
Again, I'm speaking with Nan Aaron, who is the president and founder of the Alliance for Justice, a national association of over 100 organizations working to promote and protect public interest in national policy, a leading voice in public interest law for over 30 years. She's the author of Liberty and Justice for All, Public Interest Law in the 1980s and Beyond. But, of course, this court is very, very important in as much as it gets to decide what laws and regulations come out of important federal agencies. A very, very important case was just heard recently, Verizon versus the FCC, and its ruling could have massive implications for Americans and for their freedom. The last avenue of complete freedom of the press, given, you know, a disenchantment with so many Americans with the mainstream press, has been the internet. Now, obviously, you've got to navigate it carefully, but it is a very free forum, and it's a bottom-up forum where your news is not dictated by corporate interests. And Verizon is trying to basically take over the internet in as much as the way the cable companies control the pipeline into your house and decide what television you can watch. And this will be a catastrophe for free speech for all Americans. So, I mean,
the D.C. Circuit is unique, principally because of its caseload. As you've just described, it hears extraordinarily complex cases involving national security, involving regulations, involving a whole host of matters involving the federal government. But it's also critically important because the D.C. Circuit has been, in the past, a stepping stone to the Supreme Court. Four of the nine current justices served on the D.C. Circuit: Roberts, Ginsburg, Scalia, and Thomas. And because the Supreme Court can only hear a very limited number of cases each year. Frequently, the D.C. Circuit's decisions serve as law of the land because the Supreme Court doesn't hold appeals on most of their decisions. So basically, the D.C. Circuit, in most instances, renders the final law of the land. So it is a critically important court, sometimes considered the second most important court in the country.
So, Nan Aaron, what is the Senator Grassley, who's the minority chair of the Judiciary Committee, what in the Senate, what's he doing over on the House side before the Ways and Means Committee of the House, where he's sort of whipping up the Republicans in the House over this appointment to the D.C. Circuit Court, when, of course, the House has no jurisdiction? So what's he trying to do? He's the guy that's talking about this is about stacking the court, you know, a reference back to when Roosevelt was so frustrated with the Supreme Court that he considered stacking it.
Right. Well, Senator Grassley's on a mission to whip up enthusiasm for his idea to essentially leave unfilled three seats on the D.C. Circuit. It is a pure political move. There's no support for Senator Grassley's views on this matter. The Judicial Conference, which is led by Chief Justice Roberts, has noted often the true significance of the D.C. Circuit. Committees have certainly indicated that the D.C. Circuit needs to be fully staffed with 11 judges. So Senator Grassley is off trying to get support from House Republicans for the idea that they simply should shut down the judiciary. They shut down the rest of government, and now Senator Grassley basically wants to, for solely political reasons, keep the D.C. Circuit as is. Again, during the Bush years, when the workload was even lower than it is now, Senator Grassley was pushing as hard as he possibly could to fill those vacancies. And now he makes the argument, hypocritically, that the workload is so low that we don't need three judges. But there's no authority, there's no justification anywhere that supports that notion. If anything, anyone who's reviewed this matter has indicated that these seats must be filled. So this means that there will be a showdown in the Senate over the next several weeks. We are going to see most likely the two other nominees to the D.C. Circuit filibustered by the Republicans, which will result in the majority leader, Harry Reid's, decision most likely to threaten to change the Senate's filibuster rules. I think he's quite willing, if these three nominees are filibuster, to argue that we've got to do something about these filibusters. They're based not on the merits, only on politics, and there will be, I'm sure, a very significant and raucous and robust debate in the Senate over the Senate rules, and hopefully at the end of this debate we can see these three incredibly qualified candidates confirmed to this important circuit.
But what about the rest of the backlog, Nan Aaron? This president has, and he's been criticized for not being aggressive in pushing through his judicial nominees. And my understanding is, compared to his predecessors, Clinton and George W. Bush, the Obama administration is way behind in filling the courts, largely because of these easy filibusters that the Republicans have usurped this idea that everything has to have 60 votes in order to pass. And this is a whole new ball game, which has led us to the point where they may have to change the rules. And many Democratic senators, particularly the more seasoned ones, are very concerned that this thing may backfire when they're in the minority. So it's not an easy step to make. So if you're going to go to the mat for three judges on this on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, why not go to the mat for the whole bunch of them? You know, how many are in the backlog? Do you know?
It's different. There are about, I think, 109 vacancies. About a tenth of the judiciary are vacancies. But two things are worth noting. Number one, President Obama has stepped up the pace of nominations, and I'm just thrilled to see that that's happened. Having said that, though, there are places around the country where there are one or two Republican senators who are on the record refusing to support some of the president's nominees. And that means that they cannot get hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee. There is some known rule called the blue slip rule in the Senate, which requires home state senators to approve district court appointments, district court nominees, before hearings are given. And because of this rule, Republican senators are withholding support from numerous appointees, and therefore thwarting the president's ability to fully staff the federal courts. I mean, it's a huge problem at the moment. I think 90% of the vacancies that currently exist are in states where there are one or two Republican senators. Texas, for instance, has 9 district court vacancies. That's almost unheard of. Pennsylvania has a whole host of, and Texas has 2 Republican senators. Pennsylvania has 1 Republican senator. And this is really causing the problem with the vacancies, the fact that Republican senators back home are refusing to play ball with the administration.
Well, doesn't this mean, though, this kind of blackmail that's been going on for some time, mean that the president and the Democrats have been putting up very uncontroversial centrist judges? Arguably, when they talk about the split on the Supreme Court between the 5 conservatives and the 4 liberals, I think that's very misleading if you look at the history of the Supreme Court with Thurgood Marshalls and the William O. Douglases. They were genuine liberals. I'm not sure that there are too many liberals on that court. In fact, most of them, I think, are centrists. So the whole political fulcrum, if you will, has moved so far to the right in the judiciary, and it's dominated by the Republicans and by conservatives. And is there any way that you can get around the blue slip? In other words, you can't even get to first base. And it doesn't seem like they really, as much as the Obama tries to accommodate them by having non-controversial centrist appointees, they still screw with him at any rate, don't they? So
Well, I do agree with you. I think in light of the unprecedented obstructionism by Republicans in merely consenting to the president's nominees, I do believe it's time to reconsider the blue slip rule in states and in situations where there's just huge numbers of vacancies. Yes, I think it's high time that the Judiciary Committee took a very close look at that.
Well, it would seem to me that if you're going to have a victory and have to go nuclear to get a victory, you might as well go big and try and get everything fixed at once rather than just have a small victory getting 3 judges to the D.C. Court of Appeals. That's just my opinion.
Well, I think, you know, fixing the blue slip rule would be important, but the problem is that not all nominees are at the same stage of the process.
I understand,
so it's, you know, it's not as if we can in one fell swoop take care of the entire problem, but I think getting these 3 nominees confirmed is a good place to start.
Well, Nan Aaron, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Nan Aaron, who's the president and founder of the Alliance for Justice, a national association of over 100 organizations working to promote and protect public interest in national policy, a leading voice in public interest law for over 30 years. She is the author of Liberty and Justice for All, Public Interest Law in the 1980s and Beyond. We're going to take a brief station break and be back with an update on Wednesday's conference on retirement security in Washington ahead of the grand bargain that might cut Social Security.
she comes to judge.